Welcome to the Beckham Down Podcast. It's your host, Coach Johnson. In this episode, we're going to be talking about what could possibly be the best landing spots for Drew Holiday, as well as talk about the Lakers offseason. To finish up the show, we will talk about who I believe should be the number one pick in the upcoming NBA draft. All right, let's talk about what could be the, you know, top three best potential landing spots for Drew Holiday after he's been made available by the New Orleans Pelicans via trade. You know, mostly the teams that are going to be fighting for his services are going to be title contending teams, teams that are right either on the cusp of, you know, a title or looking to vault themselves into the picture. The first team I want to talk about is the Denver Nuggets, a team that made a tremendous run this last postseason. And with the development of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, seem to be one piece away from being serious title contenders and a force to be reckoned with for many years to come if they can get a player of Drew Holiday's caliber. You know, a potential trade package that would probably entice the Pelicans is a package of, you know, Gary Harris, Bol Bol, and a first-round pick, giving you a good 3-and-D wing to replace some of the production of Drew Holiday at that position next to Lonzo Ball in the backcourt. And then you get a very talented player in Bol Bol who still needs development, but you have a young group around him that you can build together. And with their hiring of Stan Van Gundy, hopefully, you know, they can utilize him in the best way possible as a big that can stretch the floor, maybe play a similar role to a Rashard Lewis or Hedo Turkoglu with his ball handling ability that we saw with them when they played for the Orlando Magic. Another team that you can look at, you know, getting involved with Drew Holiday would be the Brooklyn Nets, as they look to make their push for a title this year as Kyrie and KD both come back from injury and are looking to, you know, add that third star to, you know, complete their big three. You know, a potential trade package could include Caris LeVert as well as Jarrett Allen. And, you know, they probably just have to be a fill-in player like Udonis Kurucs, just to make the salaries all work out, since LeVert and Jared Allen are on more lower salary deals. And once again, this gives the Pelicans a couple of young pieces to work with that have, you know, made a name for themselves in the league. Jared Allen as a lob threat and rim protector, and someone that may be able to help Jackson Hayes in his development as well. And then you get a proven scorer in the backcourt that will replace the scoring production of Drew Holiday and Caris LeVert. And then you just get another piece that you can work with from whatever the Nets decide to add in to that package. And then the last and final team that I believe would be one of the top teams for Drew Holiday would be the Miami Heat, coming off of a very impressive run in the playoffs and coming up a few games short of an NBA title. You have Bam Adebayo, you have Jimmy Butler, two staples of the organization that are going to help you stay in contention for years to come. But they need one more piece to put them over the hump and really put themselves in a great position to win a title. But this is going to have to come at the cost of, you know, losing some of the key pieces from this last year. As I would see a package of, you know, Duncan Robinson, who has proved himself to be one of the elite shooters in the league, and then adding in Kelly Olynyk, another good role player that could play some of the backup 5 minutes for the Pelicans. And then you add in Kendrick Nunn, and a player that can, you know, offset some of that production lost by Drew Holiday for the Pelicans, as well as, you know, obtain a first-round pick to add to this young core that they have in the organization. So those are really the three teams I could see Drew Holiday landing at. Yes, you have the Clippers, who are you know, going to be looking for a guard to add to the roster after Kawhi had made a demand that they get a new point guard for this season. And then you have the Lakers looking for their third and final star to complete their big three. I don't know if they have the assets to pull it off or if the Pelicans would even be willing to work with the Lakers after the Anthony Davis deal. It will be interesting to see how this all plays out. But one way or another, one of these teams is going to land a very talented player who's one of the best defenders in the league as well as a 20-point-per-game score. Now, in this segment, I want to talk about the Lakers offseason and what could possibly be a blueprint for them. You know, the biggest thing circulating around for the Lakers is if they're going to be able to add that third star to the core of Anthony Davis and LeBron James and helping them, you know, offset some of the duties of carrying the load throughout the season and in the playoffs. You know, the main names that have circulated around for the Lakers in terms of stars are Jrue Holiday, who I just talked about, as well as Bradley Beal. Also, Chris Paul as well. But I just don't know if the Lakers have the assets to be able to pull off one of those trades for one of those stars. So I really think the Lakers are going to have to go in a different direction this offseason of just building their depth and retaining key pieces from this championship team. As of right now, you have Avery Bradley on a player option, and you have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Dwight Howard, Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee. So some key pieces from this title team, and you know, you have DeMarcus Cousins that finishes rehab up with the Lakers, even though he was released later in the season. So it's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, integrate new pieces into the roster, as well as try to obtain the guys that have been a part of the team already. You know, if I'm the Lakers and looking at what should we be prioritizing, it would be an elite shooter and then a wing defender. And I really think that the Lakers should make Jeremy Grant one of the highest priorities this offseason. There's been a lot of speculation, especially after LeBron talked to him after the ending of their series against the Denver Nuggets. But you also have cheaper options such as Mo Harkless that could come at a premium price for the Lakers and could do a lot of the same stuff that Jeremy Grant does. And then I really think the Lakers need to find an elite shooter that they can bring in, whether off the bench or start next to LeBron, to help this team because it ranked as one of the lower three-point shooting teams in the league last season. Whether that is going to get someone like a J.J. Redick through a trade, or maybe going to try and get Gary Trent Jr., one of those guys that has proved themselves to be some of the best shooters in the league and someone that would help the Lakers out tremendously next season. And if I'm the Lakers, I've got to prioritize bringing back Rajon Rondo, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Dwight Howard. I think those three players played a very key piece, part of their championship run, and really paid off in the finals. I really don't think they need to prioritize bringing back JaVale McGee. As long as they feel comfortable with how DeMarcus Cousins has progressed and if he's going to be able to provide them good minutes next season. One person I did forget to mention is I really think that they should try to bring back Avery Bradley, who was playing at a high level before he decided to opt out of the NBA restart. He's someone that can knock down perimeter shots at a good level. I'm not going to say elite, but a good level, as well as provide perimeter defense on the top guards in the league to give, you know, Caldwell-Pope a rest and LeBron a rest as well. So it's going to be a very interesting offseason for the Lakers as they do possess their mid-level exception that could be used on the Jeremy Grants or the Danilo Gallinaris. That's definitely another name to look at to provide scoring. and take some of the scoring load off of LeBron and Anthony Davis, especially when one of them leaves the floor. I think another name that the Lakers should, you know, take a look at and maybe look at making a trade for is Dennis Schroeder from the Oklahoma City Thunder, as he would be a good point guard to have next to LeBron, who can, you know, play off of LeBron as a scorer and someone that has, you know, improved his outside shooting as much as he has, as he shot 39% from three last year and was one of the best bench scorers in the league. You know, he would have a different role on this team as a starter instead of coming off the bench. But once LeBron or Anthony Davis left the floor, then he would still be able to provide a scoring punch next to one of those two and make a very complimentary duo when one of the other stars, you know, exits the floor. And then I think another player, if you're looking at the center position for the Lakers that they could target in offseason, is Nerlens Noel from the Oklahoma City Thunder as well, and that he could provide good minutes next to Anthony Davis at the five and provide that rim protection and make it very difficult on opponents to score on the Lakers in the paint with Anthony Davis and Nerlens Noel roaming around. It's going to be a big offseason for the Lakers, and this could, you know, be very telling as if they're going to be able to win back-to-back titles. But I think they also want to preserve cap space for next offseason when the free agent class is a little bit deeper and more talented, and trying to secure a third star then. I will be back shortly to wrap up the show after a quick word from our sponsor, Anchor. Now that we're back from the break, let's talk about who I believe should be the number one pick in the 2020 NBA draft. You have about five players that are vouching for that top position, but I'm going to break down each of those five players and then at the end talk about which one of those players that I would select as the number one pick in this draft if I was the Minnesota Timberwolves. But first off, we have Anthony Edwards, shooting guard out of the University of Georgia. He's a 6'5 guard from the University of Georgia who caught everyone's attention with his ability to score from different areas on the court, but he excels at the rim. The most attractive thing about Edwards' game is his explosive athleticism. In his only season with the Bulldogs, he averaged 19.1 points per game and 5.2 rebounds, but only connected on 29% of his three-point attempts while taking 8 shot attempts from the perimeter per game. Even though he struggled to shoot the ball at a high percentage, he is viewed as an elite scorer. This was put on full display in his 37-point performance against the Michigan State in the Maui Invitational. The more I watch his game, the two players I see the most are Dwayne Wade and Donovan Mitchell. Next up, we have LaMelo Ball. The youngest Ball brother has made quite the name for himself, and depending on who you ask, is the best of the three brothers. While Lonzo is a better defender than LaMelo Ball, I would say he is the best of the three. We all know the scoring prowess he carries every time he steps on the court. It's been on showcase since he was at Chino Hills. LaMelo's path to the NBA is like no one before him, as he decided to get his first taste of professional basketball in Australia instead of going to the college route following his stint in Lithuania. He averaged 17 points per game and 6.8 assists per game for his Australian professional team. While he gained star status from his playmaking ability, the biggest question mark about his game remains to be his shooting from the perimeter, as he only connected on 25% from three-point range last season. This will need to be an area that he strengthens as the draft creeps closer. When I watch his game, the closest comparison for him is Penny Hardaway at the moment. Now let's talk about James Wiseman, center from the University of Memphis. Already possessing NBA size, as Wiseman stands at 7'1" and 235 pounds, we only got to see a sample size of his abilities on the court at Memphis as his season was cut short due to eligibility infractions. This is no different than what we got out of Kyrie's only season at Duke.
Wiseman was able to showcase his offensive game as he averaged 19.7 points per game and 10.7 rebounds on an impressive 76% field goal percentage from the field. You can accredit this to a 7'6" wingspan and athleticism that jumps off the screen. Where he is lacking is the modern skills possessed by big men in the NBA in terms of perimeter shooting to stretch the defense. We should see him make immediate impact on offense with his ability as a rim runner, which is equally important. For me, his current projection would be Hassan Whiteside. Now we have our first international prospect in Denny Adija, small forward from Maccabi Tel Aviv. One of my favorite prospects in this draft out of Beit Zera, Israel, who plays for Maccabi Tel Aviv. The best European prospect this year is very well-rounded for his position. You can label him as a player who is a jack of all trades. He holds a very high basketball IQ that you can see in his playmaking ability, but also on the defensive side of the floor. One thing Adija possesses that will help him immediately is his competitive spirit. You see this in Doncic, Porzingis, Giannis, etc. Where you can find a weakness in his game is his jump shot. It is the one area of his game that raises concern. This past season, he averaged 8.9 points per game, 4.7 rebounds per game, while shooting 64% from the field and 33% from three. If given a player comparison, then Detlef Schrempf would be it. And last but not least, we have Tyrese Haliburton, point guard from Iowa State. This is one that people may view as a stretch, but I truly believe you have to consider Haliburton as the top prospect in this draft. The 6'5 point guard was the best playmaker in college basketball this past season. You can accredit this to his combination of size and creativity. What was the most impressive aspect of his season was the efficiency that he scored with. He showcased really high shooting numbers. With the intangibles he has in place, he has the ability to be the most pro-ready player out of the top players in this draft. With his size at the point guard position, he will make an immediate impact on the defensive end with his ability to get into passing lanes. The one area where he must improve is his overall strength, and that is one area that will cause problems for him as a rookie. The most notable player comparison for him right now would be Lonzo Ball. Now that I've broken down and talked a little bit about the top five players in this draft, if I was the GM of the Minnesota Timberwolves and I have the number one pick in the 2020 NBA draft, my selection would be Anthony Edwards. With the pieces you have in place in Karl Anthony Towns, as well as D'Angelo Russell, you need a third complementary scorer to offset some of the load of those two guys. And I really think that Edwards can develop into a promising defender in this league as well. But with how the game is played, I think he's the best fit for the Timberwolves as they look to take a step forward in the organization to become a playoff team. And I think Anthony Edwards does that the best out of the top prospects in this draft. But let me know who you think should be the number one pick in the 2020 NBA draft. That wraps it up for this episode of the Back 'em Down podcast. I know it's been a while since I've put out an episode. I have recently taken a job as an assistant coach at Redlands Community College in Oklahoma in Region 2 of junior college. And I'm excited to get started there. It's been a great couple of first weeks on the job, and we are looking to have a promising season. Just so you have a little bit of updates what's been going on in my life. But I hope you all enjoyed the show. And if you want to become a monthly contributor to the show, please click the link at the bottom of the show notes. Until next time, everyone, take care. And I hope you come back for the next episode of the Back 'em Down podcast.